Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
How do we know that life is full of many hazardous pitfalls and snares? Life is full of all kinds of things that would try to pull us off course and try to keep us from finishing our race. The Bible talks about the paths of the destroyer. There's a lot of paths out there that would try to get us destroyed, ruin our lives. So how are we going to stay on course and not end up in a pit somewhere? How can we stay the course and not get caught in any snares that leave us in despair? How can we do it? Who's got some ideas of how can we stay on course and not end up in a ditch somewhere, but able to finish the race that God has given us to run in this life, the Christian race? Who can give me some things out loud? Prayer. So praying will help keep you on course. Coming to church, being here, this church, that'll help keep you on course, all right? Huh? The Word. Stay in the Word. Faith, obedience, obey God. That'll keep you on course. Praise God. Consistent with all these things we just talked about. Be consistent with all these things. Amen. Well, those are the typical answers that I expected. So in other words, we're to get in the Word, pray, do these things in order to stay on course in life. Amen? Right? To stay on course, to not end up in a ditch. We do these things. We pray. We get in the Word. We go to church. We do these things to stay on course and not get in a pit. Well, how many of you remember Jesus said that if you try to save your life, you will lose it? All right? So if you get in the Word to try to save your life, you will ultimately lose it. If you pray in order to stay on the path and protect yourself from the dangers of life and to keep yourself out of trouble, you're probably going to end up in trouble. Because he said, what you try to save, you're going to end up losing. Isn't that right? Anything you do to try to save yourself from falling will ultimately lead to your fall, based on Jesus' words, that he who tries to save his life will lose it. Why? Because what is the motivation behind you're praying and getting in the Word and going to church, if you're doing it in order to keep from falling in a pit and stay on course in life? What do you think is that motivation? Fear. Fear is the motivation. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare. So even reading the Bible, praying, going to church, and all these things, if we're doing them from a motive of fear, then we're going to end up getting snared. If we're doing it to keep ourselves from a snare, then we're going to end up getting ourselves snared. Can you see that? Isaiah 24:18 says, and it shall be that he who flees from the noise of the fear. So what are you fleeing from? The noise of the fear. Oh, something rattled. I mean, you heard something. Scared you. And so you take off running. You're fleeing for fear. He says, if you flee from the noise of the fear, you shall fall into the pit. And he who comes up from the midst of the pit shall be caught in the snare. So you see, if our getting in the Word is our way of protecting ourselves, then we're getting in the Word out of fear, being defensive. We're trying to protect ourselves. We're trying to guard ourselves. So you're on the defense. But if you're on the defense, you're already losing. Because defense is fear. And that's not the mode you and I are to be in. Notice this over here in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians, the fifth chapter. We're going to stay on the path of life. We're going to learn how to do that tonight. And it's easy. It's easy. What you all just suggested was difficult. To stay on the path of life, man, you got to pray. Stay on the path of life, you got to read your Bible. To keep yourself from all the snares of this world and all the lusts and all the evil things and the temptations that can destroy your walk with God, you got to get in the Word. But the more you have to do something, the harder it is to do it. Because you having to do it is legalism. It's the law. And the more you try to obey the law out of a motive of fear, the harder it is to actually be able to do it. It's going to be tough. But notice here in Galatians 5, in verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now notice that. He gives us an offensive way of staying out of lust. An offensive way of staying out of those snares and those pits of temptation that would try to mess up our walk. He says, walk in the Spirit. He doesn't say, don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That would sound like a law, a commandment, wouldn't it? Don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Don't do that. He doesn't say, don't do that. He says, do this. He didn't say, don't do that. Defense. He says, do this. Go forward and do this. And what is this that we're to do? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And what will happen if you're on the offense walking in the Spirit? You shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You won't do it. So it's not about what you can't do. It's about what you can do. It's not about keeping yourself from something. It's about getting yourself in something. Getting into something. Getting into something. Not keeping out of something, but getting into something. Get in the Spirit. Get in the Spirit and you'll keep out of the flesh. You'll keep out of the lust of the flesh. Just get in the Spirit. Amen. Well, praise God. You're dismissed. Well, how do you get in the Spirit? Can I have some suggestions? No. Come on, you know you want to give me those suggestions. How do you get in the Spirit? Pray in tongues. Who else? Read your Bible every day.
Obedience.
Go to church. So if you do these things, then praise God, we'll get over there. We'll get in the Spirit. So bless God, we get in the Word to get in the Spirit. You came here to church tonight to get in the Spirit, didn't you? I gotta get to church so I can get in the Spirit. Well, it sounds like works again to me, doesn't it? Doesn't it? See, this is our mentality, and as long as we have a works mentality, as long as we have to, if we're going to get in the Spirit, we've got to get in the Bible. We're going to have to read the Bible. We're going to have to pray, and we're going to have to get to church. It's the only way we're going to be able to walk in the Spirit. Well, again, as long as you have to read your Bible and have to pray and have to go to church and have to, the harder it's going to be to do it. It's probably why it's not as crowded as it could have been and should have been. Because people had to go to church tonight. People had to go to church tonight. The more they felt they had to go to church, the more they're not here. See, because, again, it's this I have to. Commandments, law, legalism. And as long as we're in legalism, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to be in the Spirit. It's going to be tough to pray. It's going to be tough to do all these things. See, notice this here. John, let's just look at Romans chapter 7. I love this scripture. It really makes it oh so clear concerning the law and what it actually does when you're in legalism. Now, the law itself isn't bad. Guidelines, rules, regulations are a good thing. But when I'm talking about legalism, I'm talking about the have to. We have to do this, we have to do that. In order, if we're going to stay out of the pits, we have to do this. If we're going to stay in the Spirit, if we're going to get in the Spirit, stay in the Spirit, we're going to have to do this. It's really saying the same thing, staying out of the pit, staying in the Spirit. Right? If I get in the Bible to get out of the pit, or I get in the Bible to stay in the Spirit, it's really the same thing. Really, nothing's really changed there. It's still something I have to do. I have to do. And notice what happens when you get into the I have to mode. Bible says in Romans the 7th chapter, but sin, verse 8, but sin taking opportunity by the commandment produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. Notice that. Actually, back up here to verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the passions of sins which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. And notice that again. The passions of sins which were what? Which were aroused by the law. And this is all when we were in the flesh. We're talking about being in the Spirit. If we're in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Well, how do you get in the Spirit? By the law. By the law, by having to read our Bible, by having to pray, by having to obey God, by having to do these things. If we will do these things, then we will be in the Spirit. But he says, no, if you have to do these things, you are in the flesh, and all you're doing by putting rules and regulations upon yourself when you're in the flesh is you are stirring up the passions of sin in your flesh to do the very opposite of the thing that you feel like you need to do. The more you feel you have to do it, the more you're stirring your flesh up to not want to do it and do just the opposite. Your flesh wants to do just the opposite. So that's why I tell folks, you know, the devil doesn't, many times, he doesn't tempt people by saying, oh, go ahead, take that. Take that. That usually won't work. What the devil does is he says, you can't have that. You can't have that. And he gets you to think, I can't have that. I can't even look at that. I can't even go near that. I can't do that. I can't. I shouldn't. I can't. I gotta. Because what ends up happening is evil desires get stirred up by the I can'ts. Or I have to. Why? Because it's pressure. Pressure makes life harder. The more you're under pressure to do something or not do something, then the harder it is in life. Life becomes more difficult. I mean, would agree that the more pressure you have on yourself in life, the more difficult life is to live. It's more difficult to enjoy life. Correct? So we got to get the pressure off. When you got weight and you got pressure on you, it's easy. How many people know that when you feel tired and you feel worn out how many people have ever started feeling fatigued? Just because the weight, the heaviness, that heaviness. Maybe it's just being tired. Nothing evil. Just you're just tired. But you just when you're tired, what? You just want to be left alone. Everybody's afraid to answer now. Left alone. You're afraid to be. You just want to be left alone. You just don't want to be bothered. You just why? Because there's pressure that you're under. Well, the more we can get out from under that pressure and get over into peace and joy, then the easier life will be. The easier it'll be to do things in life, like the right thing. The easier it'll be to resist the wrong. When you're happy, when you're content, and you're joyful, then you're less likely to give in to temptation. Because you'll be less likely tempted. Because you're happy. You're not miserable. You're not defensive. You're not desperate. You're not under pressure. So a happy life is key to living a holy life. You got to be happy if you're going to live holy. If you're just, I have to live holy, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to live holy if you have to live holy, but if you're happy, a happy life can live a holy life. So then, how do we get in the Spirit? How do we keep from falling in the ditches and stay on the path of life? How do we do it? Well, it tells you in the verse before, right here in Galatians 5. We just read verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, how do we walk in the Spirit? Let's go back to verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. That sounds nice, don't it? Called to freedom. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. Through what? Huh? Through love, serve one another, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So what are we talking about? We're talking about love. He says we're called to liberty. He says, and through love, serve one another, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor. He says in verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Notice how that flows. Walking in the Spirit is not separate from the previous verses. And the previous verses are all about love. So then love is the key to walking in the Spirit. Or we could say walking in the Spirit is walking in love. Walking in the Spirit is walking in love. And then if you're walking in the Spirit, walking in love, what's the first fruit of the Spirit? Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. I mean fruit. That's something that comes forth from your life. What's going to come forth from your life? Love. So when you're in love, then love comes forth from your life. And love is not a works thing. There are folks that have even turned love into works. I have to love. Well, that isn't love at all. I have to love my wife. What do you mean you have to love your wife? I have to love my wife. I have to be kind to her. What are some of the fruits here? This is all fruit of the Spirit. If you're walking in the Spirit, then the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. I got to be faithful to her. I know I have to, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I know, God, I'm going to walk in love and walk in the Spirit and be faithful to her. gentleness. No. I'm walking in love. I can do this. I can walk in love. I can walk in love. I can be gentle. If we say it enough times, we can maybe get over into that, you know. Self-control. Self-control. Against such there is no law. That's interesting. So true love is a love that is not legalistic. True love is not something you have to do. If you have to walk in love, that you might walk in the Spirit, that you might keep yourself on the path of life so that you don't fall in a pit. If that's your idea of love, you're deceived, which is where most people are in the body of Christ. Because everything works in people's minds, even love. But friend, where there's love, there's no law. There's no legalism. Because love doesn't have to do anything. Love wants to do it. Love wants to do it. That's what love wants. Love is not a have to. Love is a get to. Love is I want to. That's love. So in other words, love isn't just obedience, but love is willingness. That's why he said in Isaiah, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. He didn't just say if you're obedient. He said if you're willing. What's the willing? That's the want to. If you're willing and obedient. If you want to do what God wants you to do. If you love to do what the Lord would love you to do, then you're in love. So you see, it has to do with our motives, not just our actions. A lot of times we focus in on our actions. That's being in the flesh. The flesh focuses in on its actions. But the Spirit, those that are in the Spirit or in love, they focus in on their motives. The Spirit focuses on motives. The flesh focuses on actions. Big difference. The difference is between being in the flesh and being in the Spirit. I want to be in the Spirit. Why? Well, if I'm in the Spirit, I'm not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we know being in the Spirit is being in love. And being in love isn't just being in obedience. Love is a want to. It's a motive. It's a desire. I love God. I love Him. That's the first commandment. That fulfills all the law and all the commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is talking about a great desire for God. You love Him with everything that you are, with everything that you have, all of you. That's passion. You're passionate about Him. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God is so in love with us. God isn't doing what He's doing in our life to help us through life, protect us, and grow us up because He has to, because He needs to. God don't need to do nothing. Right? God don't need to do nothing. You know, Jesus said that, you know, the people were saying of His day that, you know, we're the children of Abraham. We're the offspring of Abraham, Israel. We're the offspring of Abraham. And John the Baptist said it, and he got it right. He said, the Lord can raise up offspring from Abraham from these rocks. Now, I don't know how He'd do that, but He's God. He could do it. He could do it. So He didn't send His Son to save the world because He needed to, He had to. He did it for one reason, because He wanted to, because He wants you. God wants you. He wants you. And he doesn't just want your obedience. God wants you to want him. He wants you to want him. What do you mean? He wants you to love him. He wants you to love him. He wants you to desire him. He wants you to be passionate about him. He wants you to crave him. He wants you to be excited about him. Because why? Because he loves you. He's passionate about you. He's excited about you. He's all these things about you. That's why he'd become a man and go through all the stuff that he went through on this earth and then allow himself to be nailed to a cross that he might have you. That's a God that really, really wants you. And he wants you with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his life. He proved that. He wants us. That's why he doesn't grow weary with us. Why does he grow weary with us? Because he loves us. Because even in your sin, in your ignorance, in your foolishness, God is like, I want them. I want them. I want her. I want him. That's why he doesn't grow weary. He's willing to wait. He's willing to work through all the muck and the mire and endure all the foolishness and all the ugliness and all the stupidness that has come forth from our life. And he's willing to just go through all that muck and mire in order to have us. Because why? He loves us. He wants us. He desires us. And it isn't like some kind of emotion that just gripped him. God never fell into love. Love didn't just grip him one day and he fell into it. God made a decision to love. And it was easy because the Bible says in 1 John, God is love. That's who he is. God is love. And so it was easy for him to love you, to want you, to desire you, and to fight for you. And he's still fighting for you and I. And we have to understand how much God loves us. Because in understanding how much he loves, we get a picture of this. We understand what love is and how passionate God is for us. We understand how much he loves us. The Bible says, then we will love him. We will love him when we understand how much he loves us. 1 John again. We love him because he first loved us. But if you don't know about your first love, if you don't know about this God that first loved you, then you will never love him like he loves you. When you understand his love for you, the more you really understand it, the more you love him. And when you love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, the same way he loved you, then you will be filled and overflowing with his love so that his love will flow out of you into others. So that you are loving others with the love of God that is loving you. Isn't that powerful? It's all about love. The psalmist said, I delight to do your will, O God. I delight to do your will. In other words, I want to do the will of God. It's not I have to do the will of God. We need to do the will of God, people, if we're going to stay out of the pit. You gotta do the will of God. Oh, I get to do the will of God. I love to do the will of God. I want to do the will of God. Oh, I'm just looking for the opportunity to do the will of God. I want to do the will of God all the time. I love it, I love it, I love it. See, I don't have to do it. I desperately want to do it. I'm passionate about it, praise God. Well, if you're passionate about doing the will of God, then it's going to be hard for some little imp to come along and try to get you off it. Why? Because you just love to do the will of God. You love love to do the will of God. But when you don't love to do the will of God and you have to do the will of God, then there'll probably be something else that you would like to do a whole lot more that'll probably jump up in your face and interfere with you doing the will of God. I know I have to go to church. People that have that attitude, it's amazing how many things will come up to keep them from going to church.
I was going to go to church, Pastor, but then the thing spilled in my leg.
Well, what you're saying is you wanted to clean up the spill, and you wanted to fix that, and you wanted to do that more than you wanted to be here. It was your priority. Your priority was based on your passion. Your passion was based on what you love. What do you love? Oh, hallelujah. All we got to do, folks, if we've been born again, is think on his goodness and what he's done for us. Hallelujah. All we got to do, folks, is think on his goodness and what he's done for us. And the love of God that's already been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit through the new birth, that love that's already in there, get all whipped up. And we'll just get excited. Come on. We'll just get stirred up and we'll just get excited. And I get to go to church. You know, when you just desperately want to do something, it's hard for anybody to get in your way and stop you. You might as well face it. It's hard for anybody to stop you. If you really want it, and you've been planning on it, you've been looking forward to it, and some little stupid thing jumps up in front of you and says, here, do this. You say, no, man, I got plans. I got a hot date tonight. I'm getting with Jesus. I'm getting in. I don't have to get in the Word. My Lord Jesus, I'm just looking to get in the Word. That's what the psalmist said, Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Let's go there. Now, there's that joy coming. Somebody's falling in love. Somebody's falling in love. Once you fall in love, the joy comes. Why? Because you're in the Spirit. You got stirred up over in love. You get stirred up in love, and it's easy being spiritual. It's easy being lovely. Because you love being lovely. You love being lovely. You don't have to be lovely.
I have to love them. I know I'm told that I have to love them. I don't have to like them, but I have to love them.
No, love loves loving others. I said, love loves loving others. I don't have to love anybody. I don't have to love anybody. But I love you. With the love of God that's in me. Hallelujah. Love loves being lovely. Everybody say that. Amen. Somebody say, love loves the word. Yes, it does. Psalm 119 in verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. That's another word for the word. That's another way of saying the word. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. I love it. This guy loves the law. He loves the word. He loves the Bible. He loves the scriptures. He meditates on it all day long. Say, what does that look like? Well, you think on it. In fact, everything that goes on in life, you're bouncing it up against the Word of God. Yeah. That's what happens. I mean, when I fell in love with the Word, and I just couldn't wait to get in the Word, I would go to work, and I just couldn't wait for work to be over because I wanted to get in the Word. And sometimes it got so desperate, I put little headphones in my ears while I was working. to try to hear some of the word. And then as soon as I get in the car, I'd listen to the word, listen to teaching on the word. I mean, just couldn't wait. Wanted to get home, read the word, wanted to get in the word. Just delight in the word of God. And what ends up happening is you get full of the word. When you love the word, you get full of the word. And then everything that goes on in life, you start thinking, well, what does the word say about that? You start thinking, well, I know what the word says about that. Everything you do, every action that comes out of your life, you start, it's all under the light of the word. You're like walking around conscious of the word and how the word views these things, how the word sees these things. Happen to know what I'm talking about? Because you love the word and you meditate. It's a part of your everyday, what you do during the day. It's what you do. And it's not something you have to do. That's why so many people have such a time getting in the word. How you got in the word this week? Well, Pastor, I've been trying. You just don't know my schedule. You just don't know my schedule. No, no, no. It's not about your schedule. It's about legalism. You're a little legalistic Christian. And you're in bondage to the law and the have-tos. You have to get in the Word, and that's why you don't get in the Word. Simple as that. If you're not getting in the Word like you know that you should be getting in the Word, it's because you should be getting in the Word. That's your problem. Don't look. I'm telling you. Don't argue with me. It's real simple. You're not loving the Word. You're not loving it. The devil has sold you a bill of goods. He has tricked you into believing that you don't love the word. You have to do the word. You have to read the word. He's tricked you. One day you got up and thought, you hungry, you desire, you loved getting the word, and all of a sudden a thought ran through your mind. I have to get in the word. I have to get in the word. And you believed it. And you yielded to it, and you said with your own mouth, I have to get in the Word. As soon as you did that, you slipped from the Spirit into the flesh, and it's been difficult ever since for you to get in the Word. That's how the devil does it to you. He tried to put that over on me one time when I was visiting somebody in the hospital. There was this girl. She got into a car wreck. Her friend was killed instantly, and she was in critical condition. The mother was coming to our church at the time, and I was going up to the hospital every day. It was over at University Hospital. I was going down there every day to go in there and pray and believe God and just stand there with the mom and the family and comfort and all those things. And I was going every day. Why? Because I wanted to. And then the mom one day just started talking about her ex-husband and how he doesn't come up here like his, oh, I was doing here. And she started complaining how he wasn't coming up to the hospital as much as everybody else. And she looked at me and she said, you at least come up here more than he does. See, her heart was all wrong. She's judging people based on the flesh. And she's judging according to works. And by the spirit of the devil, she said that to me. She said, well, at least you come up here every day. And you're here more longer than he is. That was the devil talking to me through her. So I walked out and I got in my car. And I can tell you exactly where I was. Came out of that, you know, the parking garage there. And I came out and this thought went through my mind. Now I have to come back tomorrow. Just like that. Those thoughts, those words came to my mind. I have to come back tomorrow. Right after she said that, see, because she was on my mind. I have to come back tomorrow. Got to make mama happy, right? And I knew immediately it was the devil. I knew immediately that was the devil's thought. And I said out loud, I said, no, devil, I don't have to come back tomorrow. I get to come back tomorrow. I want to come back tomorrow. And I'll be coming back tomorrow because I want to come back tomorrow. And I drove off into the sunset. Praise God, just rejoicing in the Lord. Hallelujah. Came back tomorrow and had a great time. The girl ended up making a supernatural recovery. Jesus visited her while she was in a coma. Spoke to her. It was amazing. But you see how the devil tried to sneak that in me. sneak that into my mind and try to change the motive of what I was doing. I would have kept doing the same thing, but from a different motive, and thus it all would have been wrong because I had to do it. Man, it's Christmas time. We have to get a gift for Henry. You're suckering for the devil's lie. You're under pressure. You're under the fear of man. The fear of man brings a snare. You're being snared by the devil. You have to get a gift. Well, we have to do this. We have to do that. We have to go over your parents' house, and then we'll have to go over my parents' house. Because we'll have to. All pressure. All man-pleasing. You're already in the pit. You're already snared. Your motives are impure. You're in the flesh. It's bondage. So have yourself a bondage, little Christmas. A bondage, big Christmas that you're going to have. A big bondage Christmas. That's why so many people aren't having Merry Christmases. They're having family strife hour. Why? Because they're all there because they don't want to be there because they have to be there because you made me have to be here. And now we all hate each other. Happy eggnog. Can you imagine that? Then you wonder why there's brawls that break your family. I mean, they say that's when it's like the family feuds really break out. Around the holidays. Why? Because you're all there because of fear. You fear each other. Now you're scratching each other's eyeballs out. Because you're afraid of each other. You're going to attack each other. I'm not going to do anything I have to do. Anything the devil tells me I have to do, I ain't going to do it. Out of a have to. Just like with that girl. I said, no, I don't have to. I want to. I want to. I'm not going to do anything out of a have to. I'm going to stay in love, and therefore I'm going to enjoy myself. What happens if you don't want to go? Well, then, bless God, don't go. But they're going to get mad. Well, that's their issue. That's not my problem. They probably need to get mad. Really, they probably need to get mad. Probably need to have themselves a miserable little Christmas. Why? Well, so that maybe they can wake up and come to their senses. But they won't wake up if you keep patching up their self-deception. But if you'll go on and get up and walk in the Spirit, walk in love, following your heart and not your have-tos in your head or in other people's heads, then just maybe God will be able to do a work, a lovely work, through your life, in their life, to maybe get these folks saved. But you're too busy making them happy as sinners. Let them get miserable. Let them hit rock bottom. Let them come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. You follow God. Right? Jesus is walking along. He sees this guy and he says, hey, come and follow me. And he goes, oh, I'd really love to. I'd really love to. But let me go first bury my father. Jesus is like, go let the dead bury their own dead. You follow me. Burying his father was more important. Probably had something to do with the will, but I don't know. Burying his father or making his family happy was more important than following Jesus. Jesus just said, follow me, my God. He said, follow him. It's the greatest privilege in the world. God incarnate, God in the flesh, God has said, come and follow me. Bless God, I'm going to go. Right? Rich young ruler. He says to, you know, sell all that you have. Give it to the poor. Come follow me. Couldn't do it. Been obeying the commandments from his youth, he said. Been a doer of the word, man, obedient. But his want to is weak. His want to is weak. What was his motive for doing all these things from his youth? Wasn't obviously loving the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, because the Lord his God just stood in front of him and said, come and follow me, and he couldn't do it. He had to stay with these things. He couldn't lose these things. He loved those things more. You see, the reason why if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh is because you're walking in love. And when you're walking in love for God, loving Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thus allowing His love to love through you, then you're not going to be snared by a love for the things of this world. So again, going back to our original question, what is going to keep you on the path of life, keep you from the snares and the pitfalls to Christianity? What's going to do it? The answer is very simple. Love. 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 Receive and yield to love, which is God. Yield to Him. And if you're loving Him, then you're not going to be able to go for any kind of earthly, worldly, sensual love. Because you love Him. That's what he says in 1 John. Let's go there. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2 verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, what? The love of the Father is not in him. The love of the Father is not in him. And then notice what he says. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. How do you do the will of God? Love. Love God. See, when you love God, then you won't love the world. See, it comes down to this. When people are dealing with temptation and they're having a tough time, they're having a tough time keeping themselves from this temptation. The problem is very simple, and the answer is very simple. The problem is you don't love God. The answer is very simple. Love God. Love God, and you won't give in to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Love God, and you won't love the world. If you're yielding to the love of the Father, because you have a love for the Father, you're in love, well, then you're not going to love the world. Not going to love the world. So if you're loving the world, you're loving that thing, I know it's wrong, but I got to do it. It's because you love that thing. No, I hate it, Pastor. I hate it. It's destroying my life. But you love it. You love. You're a self-destructive. You got a self-destructive love affair going on. That's what sin is. It's just self-destruction. But you love it so much, you will die for it. But the one we're supposed to be willing to die for and give our life for is the one who gave his life for us. Not this other thing, whatever that thing might be. But you're willing to give your life for it. It says right on the label, this will kill you, but I have to do it because I love it. Bible says very clearly, you do that, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be cursed. You're going to bring this. You have to do it. Because why? Because you love it so much, you're willing to die for it. You're willing to die for it. I mean, let's just face it. You love it. That's why it has the control. Because where love is, there's control. And if you're in love for God, if you're in love with God, then you are in total control of your life. I like that. To be in love with God is to be in total control of your life. To be in love with God is to be in total control of your life. When you're out of control, it's because you are out of love for God and you are loving something else. And how sad that is. Isn't that sad? That is so miserable and so foolish. To love anything else above him when he's so awesome. Why would that happen? Because you're not thinking on his love. You're forgetting who loves you and who gave his life for you. You're forgetting all about him. Praise God. How do you remind yourself? Praise him. Declare it. I love you. I love you, Lord. More than anything, I love you, Lord. We just sing praises to him. We thank him. When it's time, when we come into the sanctuary and we say, you know, let's praise God, and you have a hard time praising him because you haven't been thinking on his, you haven't been thinking on him all day. That's why. You've been thinking on Margaret. You've been thinking on money. You've been thinking on every other thing. But you haven't been thinking about love. You've been thinking about him. But we always tell the Lord how much we love him. And as we do, what happens? That love grows. That love for him grows. We praise him. We thank him. We just love him. Why do we praise him and thank him? Because we love him. Because we love him. And we tell him we love him. We communicate our love. We yield to the love. You simply yield to the love. And as you yield to the love, your love will grow more passionate. People take God for granted. They take the word for granted. They take the church for granted. There'd be more people in here tonight. Because when you understand what you have and how awesome it is that you keep praising him and thanking God for it, and you're passionate about it, you're going to share your passion with others. What's your passion, you're going to share. I'm passionate, man. Come on, you got to come to my church. You got to get in on this. You want to share it with others. You're thankful to God for it. Praise him for it. It becomes easy to pray for people you love because you're not taking them for granted. It becomes easy to communicate with God. It becomes easy. All these things become easy. Love makes everything light and easy. Love makes everything light and easy. Let's close with this. James chapter 1. I don't have to go to church. I get to go to church. I want to go to church. I don't have to read my Bible. I want to read my Bible. I don't have to worship, praise God. I want to worship and praise God. I don't have to be faithful and loving to my wife. I want to be faithful and love my wife. I want to do thy will, O God. I love to do thy will. I love it. I love being lovely. I love it. I love being obedient. I love it. I love being obedient. I mean, I really like it. I really do. I hate disobedience. I literally hate it. I literally despise it. I despise it. I hate it. I hate it. Well, and then it's easy not to be disobedient if you hate it, right? If you hate disobedience, if the devil comes on and says, disobey, you got to say, get away. Right, because you hate it. You hate disobedience. But when you walk around saying it's sinfully delicious and you love sin, goodbye. That's what you're going to be living in. Destroying your life. Verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Temptations come, but he endures. He doesn't give in other words. He doesn't cave in. He doesn't clap. I have to do it. You don't understand. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Which tells me we can endure temptation. Right? We can endure temptation. And blessed are you when you do. Praise God, how do you do it? Read your Bible. Pray. Pray that you don't go astray. Well, no. Stay with me now. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So who endures temptation and doesn't cave into it? Those who love him. Those who love him. Those who love him will endure temptation. Those that have to keep themselves from temptation will fall into many temptations. If you're afraid of temptation, the thoughts are coming again. The feelings are coming again. You're fearing it. Why? Instead of fearing that, why don't you just love him? Why don't you just lift up the creator of it? Because whatever it is in the world that's controlling you, he made it. That means he's bigger than it. He's better than it. Why not just go right to the source? Why mess around with the middleman? Right? Why mess around with this thing or that thing? Well, you can go right to him who created all things. Hallelujah. Why would you have to have this? Why would you lust over $1,000 if you're married to a millionaire? A multi-billionaire. I mean, if you're married to the one that made it all, then what is that? Huh? It becomes so small. It becomes so insignificant when you put it up against him. That's all you got to do. Just put it all up against him. And if there's something good, it's a good thing, but the devil's trying to make you get into lust over it, well, just give God thanks for it. Just turn away from the thing for a little bit to acknowledge him, the creator of it. Give him thanks for it. Say, thank you, Lord, for that. Hallelujah. I praise you for that. Rather than being afraid of that. Just praise him for it. And that will grow faintly dim. It'll grow faintly dim as you acknowledge him and lift him up. Hallelujah. Exalt the Lord. Exalt him. Love him. And you'll not collapse under pressure and give in to any kind of temptation. Can you say amen? Amen. Only love can loose you from lust, which is a love for the world. Only love for God can do it. Thank God the love of God's been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Let's just get back to love. How did we get in this thing? We fell in love with Jesus. You heard what he did for you and you fell in love with him. Isn't that true? That's how you got born again. You fell in love with Jesus. And then the devil came along and he hoodwinked you. He came over and he got you over in the works and says, you had to go to that church. It's Wednesday night. They're all expecting you to be there. What are you going to say to the pastor if you don't show up on Wednesday night? See, the devil doesn't tell you don't go to church. The devil says you have to go. And by doing that, he gets you under pressure and stirs up your flesh to not want to go. Because nobody ever wants to do what they have to do. Nobody ever wants to do what they have to do. But praise God, we love to do what we get to do. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Come on, stand on your feet and thank the Lord tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.